Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're delighted to have you on board. Looking forward to our dialogue and discussion on the issues today. May I remind us once again, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not based on a dogma or the rights and rules and regulations of a denomination. Our discussion is based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Jesus says to his disciples in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus made a declaratory statement in John 17:17, when he said, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, one of the major things that we seek to do is to seek to discuss truth on this broadcast. As we discuss truth, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. And as we look at the Scripture, we find what God says about any issue. And that should be the light, that should be the lamp that is for our pathway as we travel in this world today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about a subject that I believe is fitting for this brand new year that we're entering into. I'm simply calling it Facing the Future. Facing the Future. Ladies and gentlemen, we've just entered into a brand new year. I don't know about you, but it's always exciting to me because I look forward to what God is going to do. I look forward to new avenues and opportunities to serve the Lord, and new opportunities to be what He would have me to be and accomplish what He would have accomplished in our lives as Christians. It ought to be a time of refreshing, excitement, and looking forward to what God is going to do. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, as we enter into this new year, we all, if God allows us to live, listen carefully. We have 365 days. 52 weeks, 12 months, 8,736 hours, 524,160 minutes, 31,449,600 seconds. Now, I don't know if you've ever broken it down that way or not. I have many, many times. So the question must be, and the question begs to be asked, what will you do with this time? How will you live each day? How will you face each day if God allows you to live in this brand new year? Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number that you can dial and join in the dialogue and discussion is simply 401-1413. 904-401-1413 gets you directly through to our studios and right to the microphones so that we can have dialogue and discussion. Interesting discussion today as we talk about facing the future. Many will prepare a long list. I don't know, perhaps I'm talking to you and you've done this. You prepare a long list of resolutions, things that you intend to do, things that you want to do, things that you are going to try to make yourself do. You're going to get a job or a better job or a different car or this or that or the other. You're going to lose weight. In fact, they say that on the New Year's resolutions, most people have something about weight on their resolution list. But ladies and gentlemen, I understand, based on statistical data, that 99% of the resolutions are broken, discarded within the first 30 days. So often, we also want to look back. Perhaps I'm talking to you today, and you're fearful of the new year, reaching, going into the new year with apprehension or anxiety or worry. You're concerned about the new year, because you're looking back. You're looking back and saying, why didn't I do this last year? Why didn't I do that? Why didn't we accomplish this? Listen, yesterday's gone. Today is the opportunity. Tomorrow may never come, as someone said. So as we look back at the past year, again, I'm going back from statistical data of the psychologists and the psychiatrists, those in the medical profession, and they say the overwhelming number of people enter into a new year with fear and trepidation and anxiety because of it being unknown. They do not know what the future holds. None of us do. And so therefore, there's a fear, there's concern, there's a anxiety and trepidation because of it. Multitudes across America today become discouraged and depressed and anxious over Christmas and New Year's holidays, and then especially entering into a brand new year. In fact, it's unfortunate but true. The statistical data tells us that multitudes will take their own lives going into the new year because they're so absolutely overwhelmed by facing the future with the unknown, or with difficulties from the past year and worry. Worry and fear, someone says, and let me quote, worry and fear is interest on a debt that may never come due. I think that that should challenge us to recognize that worry and anxiety and fear is not going to accomplish anything. It will not accomplish anything in your life or in my life. May I remind us, we need not be anxious or depressed or fearful over the new year. In fact, the professionals tell us, those in the field of medicine in particular, that at New Year's time, most people are simply psychologically depressed because of their anxiousness and worry over some of the things. Let me just give you some of the things that they say. When I say they, I'm talking about the professionals. Now, listen to it carefully. I don't buy into it personally, but this is what I'm told is the reality of the cause and effect. As people enter into the new year, they do so often with anxiousness and worry and fright and concern. They are under pressure because of the change. They say that multitudes are pressured because of facing the new year, and the difficulty is the pressure for change. And secondly, the pressure to make New Year's resolutions. I didn't realize this until recently doing a research on the subject, that multitudes feel that because my friends and my family, my relatives, neighbors, co-workers, others are making resolutions, I need to do so also. My resolutions need to look like something that's going to make me accomplish in the year. So there's a pressure to make New Year's resolutions. Then there's the fear of being somehow defeated and discouraged, because if you do not make those resolutions, you feel that somehow, some way, you've not done what is expected of you. Then there are those that feel defeated because of the previous year and what they've not accomplished. Some of the things that they wanted to accomplish. I don't know about you, but at the close of every day, I think, Lord, I need more time. I need more hours. My wife can affirm that. I find it exciting to be able to live each day and to accomplish each day the maximum that God has for us. Then there are those that they have absolute petrification and fear of change. They just don't know what the new year is going to bring, and so it is frightening and fearful to enter into a new year. Some look at it on the basis that entire 31,449,600 seconds are going to hit them all at one time. They don't recognize and realize so often that the brand new year that we enter into stretches before all of us. First of all, our goals and our aims, ladies and gentlemen, should focus on what the Lord would have us to do, how He would have us to invest our time each day and each new year. In fact, the Apostle Paul perhaps said it better than multitudes could say it. And I'll just simply say what Paul said in Philippians, the 3rd chapter and the 13th verse. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself as to have apprehended," that means to accomplished or to arrive, "but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Ladies and gentlemen, the Apostle Paul had a single mind in his attitude. He says that single mind is, this one thing I do. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we can't please the Lord by constantly vacillating and always going in every direction. Paul focused on his mission and his goal, and that mission and goal was to serve in a surrendered fashion under the lordship of Jesus Christ. He would not allow, the Apostle Paul would not allow himself to be sidetracked with things that had happened before. This one thing I do, he says. And what is that one thing? By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I call that having a single mind, not a dual mind, or a bifurcated mind, or a cross-eyed mind, if you will, but a single mind. And he also had a short memory. He said in that verse, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. The Apostle Paul says, and ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. I've had people say, well, I'm going to forgive you, but I can't forget it. It's not talking about the memory banks that you store events and happenings and things in your life. But Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. Literally, we cannot look back. We cannot live in the past. We cannot live in the future. The only thing we have is the present. Forgetting literally means no longer being influenced or being affected by the past. Listen very carefully. Perhaps you had difficulties last year beyond reason and understanding. Perhaps there was the loss of a job, a loss of a family member, a loss of health, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Perhaps there were major successes, major accomplishments. You see, ladies and gentlemen, success and accomplishment can also prevent you from looking forward as to what God has for you, just as much as failures and futility and difficulties can be a stumbling block. But the Apostle Paul said in Philippians, the 3rd chapter and the 13th verse, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul says, I'm not going to let my failures, my problems, my difficulties, my heartaches, my conflict with others, my difficulties in life, I'm not going to let that influence me with what God would have me to do. Paul says, my past, my position, my prestige, my problems will not prevent me from serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And that ought to be your goal, and it ought to be my goal. It ought to be the goal and the aspiration of everyone on the side of my voice. We've got to have a right attitude about entering into this new year. And that first and foremost, that first principle must be that we forget the past, forgetting that which is beyond our changing possibility, forgetting that which is already past and out of our reach and out of our control. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll never face the future and have victory in the Lord until we put Him first and foremost in our lives. We must see the Lord and focus on the Lord Himself. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what happened in Joshua, the 3rd chapter, and in verses 1, 2, 3, and 4 in particular. In fact, let me read you from Joshua chapter 3. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. Talking about before they passed over Jordan, going into the promised land. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went throughout the coast, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. And there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know, listen, that you may know the way by which you must go. This is the key to this text, ladies and gentlemen. For you have not passed this way heretofore. Ladies and gentlemen, Joshua chapter 3 says that there are two, three things that ought to be done in relationship to facing the future. He reminds the people they've been encamped there on the banks of the Jordan for 3 days. And in view of that text, we understand that anything like a bridge or a large body of water, et cetera, is that which is viewed as an obstacle, that which is looking at it as a crisis or a problem or a difficulty. And here they are with that crisis, or that problem, or that difficulty facing them. That is the Jordan River. But yet they've got to get past that. They've got to get to the other side into the promised land. And ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand in the context of this text, there are three additional principles. First of all, as I told you a moment ago, the first principle is forgetting the past. The third principle is we must focus on the Lord. Focus on the Lord. This text in Joshua 3 says, when you see the ark. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, the ark in the Old Testament was emblematic, was symbolic of the presence of the Lord with them. The ark of the covenant of the Lord, the ark was a box. It was about 4 foot long, about 2.5 feet wide, about 2.5 feet high. It was overlaid with gold inside and outside. And the ark contained the three things that was there. It contained the sacred tablets of stone bearing the Ten Commandments, carved by the very finger of God. And that it also had other things in the ark. It had the Aaron's rod that budded. It had the bowl of manna, which has been Israel's staple for some 40 years. But ladies and gentlemen, the ark represented the presence of the Lord. And Joshua said, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord, we must focus on the Lord. It's an impossibility, ladies and gentlemen, to not be fearful, to not be anxious, to not be worried if we're focused on the job or the income or the family or the crisis today or the difficulties today or those things that happen today. We must focus on the Lord. First of all, forgetting the past. Don't let the past control your activities and your actions and your mindset and your direction today. And as you forget the past and not allow, now listen, let me say again, I'm not talking about forgetting that wreck yesterday or that problem yesterday or that difficulty yesterday. It's still embedded in the memory banks. But it is not letting it control your today. But focus on the Lord is what Joshua says. When you see the ark, that is focus on the Lord. Don't focus on the river in that context. Don't focus on the crisis. Don't focus on the problem, but focus on the Lord. Focus on His power, His provision, His presence. And secondly, in that third verse in Joshua, the third chapter, we must follow the Lord. The scripture says, then you shall remove yourself from the place and go after it. And verse 4 says, yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits. Ladies and gentlemen, that's about 3,000 feet by Western measurement today. Joshua is saying to his people, they're there on the banks of the Jordan. They're there hopeful to enter into the promised land. They're there faced with an obstacle. They're there faced with a crisis. The river is between them and the promised land. And Joshua says, when the priests come through the group of them, there are about 2.5 million people there. I'd hate to think that I'm trying to lead 2.5 million people already been rebellious, and this is the residuum, the residual, the few that's left, that's born during the 40 years of the journey in the wilderness. And Joshua and Caleb, the only ones that survived, and those that were that age and older, that age and younger, that is, are the ones that now are standing on the bank of the Jordan. And Joshua says, focus on the Lord, and then follow the Lord. Why does he say, stand back about 3,000 feet? Because, ladies and gentlemen, there's about 2.5 million people there, and for them to be able to see the ark, to focus on the ark, they couldn't just stand right under it. They had to stand away from it so that all are looking at a distance and focusing on the Lord so that they might follow the Lord. And I simply say, ladies and gentlemen, the key to this is we must stop following people. We must stop following voices. We must stop following the gurus of the day. You can't follow the prosperity gospel preachers today. You can't follow those new cotton candy theologies today. You can't focus on the voodoo theology of today. You can't focus on that which so many are trying to say that is the new thing that they if you just do this and do that, this little magical power, that somehow, some way you can be healthy, wealthy, and wise, that's simply not biblical. We must focus on the Lord and follow the Lord. And fourthly, listen carefully, forget the past, focus on the Lord, follow the Lord, and faith the Lord. Joshua said in the third chapter of Joshua, the fourth verse, that you may know the way by which you must go. For, we could translate that, because You have not passed this way heretofore. Ladies and gentlemen, every new day this year will be a day that we've not traveled. It'll be a road that we've not traveled. It'll be an experience that we've not had. It will be things that we've not seen, things that we've not heard, things that we've not entered into, things that we have not thought about or planned on. There'll be, always be that new something in this new year. We must forget the past. We must focus on the Lord. We must follow the Lord. We must faith the Lord. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the pathway before us is unfamiliar ground. The pathway that is before you today, the pathway that is before me today, is a pathway that we have not trodden, we have simply not traveled before. It's all brand new territory. It's brand new ground. And ladies and gentlemen, you can say, well, you know, I still go to my same job. Yes, you do. You can say, well, I still drive my same car. Yes, you perhaps do. But ladies and gentlemen, it's something that is new every day, because the scripture is very clear here in this text, for you have not passed this way heretofore. It's unfamiliar. So we must faith the Lord. Perhaps you ask the question, what does it mean to faith the Lord? How do I faith him? It's very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen. The scripture says in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is grasping and believing that God has said it, and that settles it, and we simply need to focus on it. You see, ladies and gentlemen, in the third chapter of Joshua, when he was saying that you may know the way by which you must go, for you've not passed this way heretofore, the pathway before them was unfamiliar. They were about to cross the Jordan. And when you study the third chapter of Joshua, the first 17 verses in particular, that's the predominance of the chapter. When you study that, you find that they did in fact focus on the ark, that is the Lord. They followed as the ark went before them. And as the priest placed their feet in the waters parted and they crossed over on dry land. Ladies and gentlemen, that was faithing the Lord. That was believing what he said and obeying it. In fact, the scripture is very clear, ladies and gentlemen, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the 6th verse, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe, pistuo, believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Ladies and gentlemen, the key to faith is simply believing that God said it. That settles it, whether I understand it or whether I can see it or not. That's faith. Ladies and gentlemen, as you study the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, you find what faith really is. In fact, in the 8th verse, the 11th chapter, by faith Abraham, when he was called, did go out into a place which he should after for an inheritance obeyed. He went out, not knowing whither he went. Abraham, by faith, simply believed God and left where he was, where God said to go, did not understand, did not know, could not fathom what was before him any step of the way. And it goes further to say in the 9th verse, 11th chapter of Hebrews, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the scripture then continues in that 11th chapter of Hebrews. It is says there, through faith also Sarah received strength to conceive seed. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. The 20th verse says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. The 21st verse, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. The 22nd verse, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. The 23rd verse, ladies and gentlemen, Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were afraid of the king's commandments. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, and on it goes, ladies and gentlemen. By faith, by faith, by faith is the key phrase that's found in the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about facing the future, going into this new year. And there are obstacles before us. There'll be difficult days. There'll be things that we did not expect, but we need to forget the past. That is not allowing yesterday, last month, last year to have influence on today. How many are listening to my voice today? Perhaps you're caught up and concerned about the possibility of failure because you had so many, you were fraught with so many failures and difficulties and stumblings and falling downs last year. I've got good news for you, ladies and gentlemen. The scripture says we need to not allow the yesteryear and the yesterday and the problems and the difficulties, even the successes, to have control over our life as we enter into this brand new year. And let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, we have this year 365 days, 52 weeks, 12 months, 8,736 hours, 524,160 minutes, 31,449,600 seconds. Now, I realize one day of that's gone, but I also realize, ladies and gentlemen, that we've got to forget the past and we've got to focus on the Lord and we've got to follow the Lord. One of the greatest difficulties I think that men and women have in society today is following the Lord, keeping the focus, following the Lord, focusing on Him and faithing Him. Ladies and gentlemen, just because you fall down four or five times doesn't mean that we ought not to have continue our faith in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Faith is, the scripture says, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We can't see tomorrow, but ladies and gentlemen, we can see and know by faith the one that holds all of our tomorrows in the palm of His hands, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is still on the throne. He's still in control. He is still sovereign. He still has control over all of the days that is before us. And the scripture is very, very clear that we need to forget the past. We need to focus on the Lord. And some might say, well, how do you do that? How do you focus on the Lord? How do you follow the Lord? How do you have faith in the Lord? What is it that brings about that faith in the hearts and the lives of individuals day in and day out? How do you do that? Ladies and gentlemen, that is very, very clear as found in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans. In fact, in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how then shall they call upon Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And then in the 16th and 17th verse, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Verse 17. Romans, the 10th chapter. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by, the little Greek word is dia, D-I-A. That means the access, the passageway by which it's done. And faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not in the word, it's an impossibility to have faith. Ladies and gentlemen, there needs to be a focus this year on the Lord Jesus Christ, forgetting the past, focusing on the Lord, following the Lord, faithing the Lord, and the faith in the Lordship of Jesus Christ comes through the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I challenge you today in this new year, study the Word of God, read the Word of God every day, and it will build up faith that you can focus on the Lord and follow the Lord and forget the past. Thank you for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen. We're looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.